Hi, it's Kiara. Just a little note from me before this episode begins, and that is to just give some context for this episode because I've listened to it back and I am talking so fast. I was a bit stressed out, I think, coming into recording this episode. It was an unexpected snow day. I had no idea that Anna was going to be off until we were on the way to school, and I was like, where are all the people going to Anna's school? And checked the parent mail, and her school had closed because of the snow, but none of the other schools had closed. And I was checking the emergency school closures. Anyway, it doesn't matter. She was off, but I planned on going for a run in the snow, a long run on a Monday. So I had taken amino acids, which have caffeine in them. And so I was really stressed out and had taken a huge whack of caffeine before settling into recording this podcast. And I think I was already coming in feeling a little bit stressed out. So this is sort of my therapy session with Lorna and me being wound up. And then you can hear my voice slowing down and calming down as the episode goes on. So just to provide some context as to why I was a little bit wound up going into this episode, I think it's still really useful and good, and certainly was really useful for me. So, yeah, enjoy. Thank you for listening. We are the mothers of many, Kiara Evans and Lorna Blanchard. As mothers of many children, we are curious about our parenting journeys. We were called to document this poignant time of mothering in our lives. We feel passionately that women's stories should be heard. Welcome to another episode of Mothers of Many. I love doing this. Like, I properly love doing this. This is good, isn't
No,
it?
I do get excited on a Monday morning, when I'm like, I
Oh.
have a purpose for this day that isn't just looking after the kids. And that is not like a, oh, I'm ungrateful for looking after all of my
No,
amazing
no,
children.
no.
Just a like, this is the first thing I've done for ages where I'm like, I can't wait to sit down and do that. I think I
Oh.
did feel like that a bit with my book, but it didn't last. Like, it wasn't, I think it's just in a break at the moment. But it
Is
wasn't
that
like
because
a
it's
sustain.
partly your human design being a manifesting generator of almost like the next thing, the next thing? That's how it's coming up for me at the moment, manifesting
I think
generator
so.
stuff.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's like that whole thing of if it doesn't light you up and the gut instinct isn't a full-bodied yes, then just move on for a minute and then don't worry about having lots of plates spinning at once because you can go back to the ones that have fallen off the
Pick them up
sticks.
at some point. Yeah. Yes, totally. Exactly. So, this is not an episode on human design, although we should do that at some point. This is going to be what we're talking about. We are talking about school holidays today because they are imminent. And actually, when this podcast comes out next Monday, it will be, will it be your school holiday? It will be mostly my school holidays. I will have 3 out of 4 off by next Monday. How about you?
Yes, next Monday I will is my last day with all of them in school, and then they will all be off. I think that even the toddlers in preschool, so that's good. And then yeah, Tuesday onwards is full festivities.
She's good. She's good. Well, whilst you were joking, Anna appeared to show me her stickers because Anna is off school because it's a snow day. Except for it's not really a snow day. It's we had about 1 centimeter of snow in Witham and her school decided to be closed. But no one else's schools are. Although I have literally just had a text message from CJ saying he's finishing at lunchtime because only a third of the school managed to get in. Oh, you're still on mute. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, only a third of the school managed to get in. I like piled four kids into a car this morning, all of them under 10, and drove to school slowly and carefully. And we were 5 minutes late, but what the hell?
I don't know if it's because he's a secondary teacher and just a bunch of teenagers going, I can't be bothered, I'm not coming. I don't know. I sent Bethany and Luke out this morning. I was like, off you go. No, go for a walk
So how
to
do they,
school.
I don't understand how do they normally get to school, walk or drive or bus? Did the
For
buses
CJ
not?
school,
Yeah.
I think a combination of
all of the above, and if bus companies are panicking about a late finish, or if I don't know what's happened, but
weird,
half of them, two-thirds of them haven't made it in.
It's the weather. It's the British weather mentality that we're all so excited that something different has happened, we still live on an island, and we've always lived on an island. And like, this is what happens sometimes. Every year, everyone's like, ah. I think this ties in though, because we've gone a bit off piece, but this does tie into what we were talking about before we hit record, in that we were talking about how you have not had a break with the kids at school, because we call the time they're at school our break time.
Yeah, when I work and we're doing this. Yeah,
when we do all the things of our lives other than attending to our child's emotional needs. But yeah, that break we get for 5 hours a day in the middle of the day, that isn't really a break, but we'll call it that for the purpose of explaining it. So let's call it our headspace. So the headspace and the work time that you usually have during the day, you have not had fully for a month, we think.
I think it's been a month since everybody has been in school for an entire week. And this is the last week of term for me, because the big ones finish on Thursday, the middle of the day. And then Anna's school was closed. And you know, when you just go, what? It can't, I mean, is the universe trying to point something out to me right now? Like, I'm just starting to freak out slightly by lack of time, and then it's the school holidays.
So as soon as you said that, this thing popped in my head that I heard or read or whatever came across like a few years ago, which was that to experience the joy of the things that you are currently doing, you have to be okay with saying no to all of the things you want to do.
Okay.
So that isn't exactly how it was written down. That's how I interpreted it. So basically, if I want to be peaceful or happy or joyful in the moment I'm in right now, I have to be comfortable with the fact that my body and my brain want to be multitasking about 20 different things right now to make my life like more efficient, fruitful, pleasurable, whatever. But the reality is, I am but one woman, and I can only achieve what I am doing right in this very moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that speaks to me in terms of being present, right? I struggle with exactly that. Yeah. How do you feel about school holidays?
How do I feel about school holidays? So I have like a mixed feeling about school holidays. I feel the same about school holidays as I feel about every single day as a mum of four. It is both the most joyful and beautiful time, and also the most stressful and horrific of times, all in one big bundle.
Yeah.
Because I love the school holidays. Like, I didn't have loads of kids because I don't like spending time with kids. I do like spending time with my kids, especially my own kids. And I do like some other children as well to spend time with. Yeah. And you know, like, I enjoy the company of people in general, some of which are children. The thing with the school holidays is, in my situation, often it means that I am alone with four children for several weeks at a time without any other adult present, unless I see, say, my mum and dad, or I like visit with friends who often have their own kids with them anyway. So it's like, it's a lot on the load front, because there's no other person like meeting any needs for the kids. So I think that like kind of, but this, I think the Christmas holiday tends to be less so that. The challenges are different with Christmas, because Gary tends to be off for like the majority of the Christmas time. So the things that come up are slightly different. So if you're talking about like Easter or the summer holidays, I would say it's like the load of it, of the actual physical meeting needs all day demands kind of thing. When it comes to the Christmas holiday, I would say it's managing all of the emotions, mainly being mine.
Mainly being yours. Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think I'm a pain in the bum at the beginning of every I think in particular the longer holidays, like summer holidays and Christmas holidays, I go into, oh gosh, we must have routine and we must have purpose and we must have fulfillment and joy and structure, and I mustn't waste this time. And so we can't possibly just sit around and do whatever, nothing, and like freak out. I totally go into freak out mode, and I need definitely the summer holidays. I need like time to decompress and go, we do not have to do all the things. And I feel like Christmas this time around is slightly easier because we have a plan. We have got three things booked in for this Christmas. And so I feel less stressful. Or do I feel less stressed? No, I feel completely wound up. I feel totally wound up. Actually, that is the truth. I feel totally wound up because Christmas is, we've got to have magic and we've got to have sparkles and it's got to be wonderful and amazing. And what if it's not magical? And what if something goes wrong? And what if someone's ill? Or what if people are not happy? Or how do I make it amazing? And I think that's the pressure I go into every holiday with. And Christmas is probably the worst because there is expectation, which is so ironic because I write often on my social media, don't put the pressure on yourself. You know, everything's not magical. But, and I'm like, yeah, except for I put the pressure on myself totally all the time.
Well, you write reminders for yourself on your own social media about what your expectations are.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But so that's an important point, that social media tells us that we should do certain things and be certain ways and have our children dressed a certain way and deliver them certain things for these periods of time. But, you know, those snapshots, those are snapshots of your life. Like, you put snapshots of your life on social media, and when you're in alignment and you're in a good place, you post about the fact that we don't all need to do all of the things.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Being in alignment all of the time is, you know, that's the goal, right? And we're not there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm speaking for myself here. Maybe you are.
No,
yeah,
you're right. And I think the other pressure that's definitely relevant to the Mothers of Many podcast is, for me, the different needs of all the people. Because my situation is, obviously, CJ being a school teacher, we're all home, which is absolutely the best thing ever. And I don't think that I would have had four children if he wasn't a school teacher, because I think one of the things I definitely struggle with in terms of parenting is confidence, which sounds slightly ridiculous saying it out loud. But I think in terms of actually having all the kids with me all the time, it's like, oh gosh, how can I possibly meet all of their needs? And so having another adult there, like you were saying, sharing the load really, really does help.
I don't think it sounds ridiculous to say that we have elements of our parenting that are our less strong points. I think that's really valid, that actually the more we say out loud the bits that we are struggling with or we find difficult, the quicker route that is to coming up with a solution or to build confidence in that area. So if it's about
definitely,
the, you know, and I'd say that since I've known you, like, your confidence in that has grown like massively.
I think there's definitely been the growth in confidence over the last few years. And I think part of that is coming from almost letting go of feeling like we need to fulfill everybody's needs all at the same time in one activity. And so, like, for example, one of the things that we've got booked in the diary is coming over to your house, and not everyone will come. And I would never have done it a few years ago. I'd have just been like, oh well, if we're not all going to go, I don't want to drive, I can't do it without CJ, I don't want to take all the kids, someone's going to kick off. And actually, at some point somewhere along the lines, I went, oh, we could just do it with people that want to go. Perfect. Okay, well, let's just do that. But I think that's, I don't know, maybe it's part of my sort of controlling tendencies, is like wanting to go, okay, well, if we're going to go to Lorna's house, we're going to be really happy and have a nice time. So what can I get the boy, what can I comfort myself with that the boys are going to do that they're going to be really happy? Okay, well, they're going to sit and game without anybody nagging, so they're going to be really happy and it's all going to be fine. Yeah,
but that
complicated, isn't it, being a mum?
So complicated. Well, it is as well when we're in this kind of parenting where we do consider the emotional effects of our actions on the people in our care. And it's balancing that, isn't it, with wanting them to be happy. But I often think as well, like, them understanding that sometimes life isn't fair, or that you make your own like enjoyment out of something. So often I will take like one or two kids to do something that I know that they enjoy, and the other ones might moan that they don't get to come. And then I point out to them that they don't enjoy the activity that we're about to go and do. And, you know, they would be happier just to stay and like chill out and do nothing. But also I think there is this thing of, I feel like when you're a big family, often people think, oh, this is what I have thought in the past, is that you always do everything together because you made all of these human beings. So therefore you should come as a pack of six. And like, sometimes when I'm out and it's just me and the two kids, I'm like, oh, people think I only have two children. This is weird.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I totally like had that thought too. Like,
yeah. And I miss my identity in a way, because I'm like, oh, now I'm a mother of two, really, because I'm only meeting, but the others are in my mind. They're not like in my presence. I'm like, oh, like, what does a mother of two do? It is good. And, you know, the big ones enjoy it when they can do whatever they want. Like, I enjoy it. And actually, this is like, I enjoy time when I can do whatever I want. And I think this is like the biggest deal for me about the school holidays, is that I have carved out time in my working week, as in like my Monday to Friday, let's like coin the societally normative terms, the working week of Monday to Friday, I have made sure that I have carved out these times that are just for me, where I can like be in my own head, I can think my own thoughts, I can listen to what I want to listen to, I can move around freely, and I have carved out that time, and I enjoy it and I look forward to it. And then for some reason in holidays gone past, one, because it's slightly more difficult to get someone to look after four kids for you, and actually having a way of doing that is the first challenge, but then also just understanding that when the other partner is off, like in my case Gary, that sometimes like leaving him with all four kids, whether it's going to be difficult or not, is worth it. Like last year, I went paddleboarding with a friend on the 21st of December, which is like prime stress time, right? Just before Christmas, loads going on. And I was like, do you know what? Like, I'm going to do it, because I know that if I do that, then the rest of the week will be more peaceful for me, because I've done the thing I want to do. And it makes me a bit more understanding in a way of like how the kids are when you're in a big family, because it's very rare that you get to do what you want to do solely. And it's like that balance between having that time where you're all having joyful moments together as like six people, which, you know, it's hard to come by. It is hard to come by where everyone's happy at once. It doesn't always happen. Mixed in with like those individual little moments that you can do if you want to with various members of the family. But I think something you said earlier just has stayed on my mind about, you have these things booked in, which, you know, make you feel a little bit more peaceful knowing that they're coming up, but also you're mega stressed. And I think it's like really important for us to remember that we can be both those things at once. We can feel calm and stressed at the same time about different things, and they're running like in our bodies at very different levels, but they're still, they can be there at the same time. I think there's often this like thought process that if you're experiencing an emotion of feeling stressed, that means there's no room for like anything else. But yeah. I don't believe that to be true. I believe that we can feel peaceful about certain elements of our life and feel very like tense or wired or whatever you want to explain it about other things. And
yeah,
I think the perfection thing comes when you're like, I need to feel that calm together, everything's cool, like feeling all the time. That's when it's an issue, because that's not possible.
I know. And I think almost that something that thing of not being possible is almost, that's the stress for me. It's that I'm stressed at the idea that people won't be happy. Not even that they're not happy on the thing, it's the fear of that happening, and the fear of too many conflicting emotions. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to do it. It's too much. I don't know if it's almost like needing to work on boundaries of I don't have to accept. Like, one of the things I find really hard when you were talking about, you know, the activities and some people are going to be happy and some people aren't going to be, I find that almost unbearable to be in a situation where I know that some people are unhappy. And that's partly because my children are really good at expressing their unhappiness, as is currently being expressed to me to my right hand side about how bored she is. And I find that, like, my bodily reaction to this is, I find it very, very difficult to cope with. And I don't know what, I don't know what kind of boundaries I could put in place or what sort of techniques I could put into place for myself, but I find this really unbearable.
Have you ever played the game? Sorry. Have you ever played the game, like, worst case scenario? Have you ever watched This Is Us? TV show. Okay, oh my god, you need to watch that over Christmas. That's what, like, I'm giving you homework, like, seriously.
Okay.
It's so good. But anyway, it's like all these couples and people and interpersonal relationships and managing emotions, blah blah. Anyway, there's a couple in there, anyone who's seen This Is Us will know what I'm talking about, and they play worst case scenario. And basically, like, when they're in this, like, moment of, like, I don't know what to do, they come to each other and they go, okay, let's play this game. So tell me, what is the worst case scenario if everyone is upset?
I think selfishly, the worst case scenario is for me that I will have a horrible time.
And then what? And then what after that? Like, even worse than that. You're having a horrible time, then what? What's the worst case scenario?
We all just give up and come home. It was a waste of energy. We have negative, there might be someone, CJ, listening, going, well, we shouldn't, I knew it wasn't going to be any fun, we shouldn't have bothered, you know, that kind of thing.
And then what's the worst case after that? So everyone has a crap time, you go home.
No, that, you're right, actually, the worst case scenario is that's it, it's over at that point. Yeah, because, like, I want happiness all the time, Lorna. I'm sorry, but the worst case scenario of everyone being miserable, no. I think it really feeds into my insecurities and fears of not being good enough, not being a good enough mother, and wanting almost like that proof of, well, we're doing this really magical thing that should be magical, and therefore everyone should, it's a lot of shoulds, isn't it, should be happy. And everyone should then think that I'm a great mom and we've had a great day, and what if it's not? And you know what, this morning Samuel, when we went outside in the snow for the first 10 minutes before someone huffed off, and Sammy was like, this is the best day ever. And I was like, do you know what? He really means that. Like, this is the best day. And all we're doing is playing in some snow, making a snowman at 7:30 in the morning. Okay. There's lessons to be learned from that, isn't there?
Oh, there so is, because I stupidly showed my kids the picture of your kids enjoying their snow time this morning.
Oh, no.
And having a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old makes it slightly more difficult, I think, to get everyone ready for school in time if they've jollied around in the snow for an hour. So
yeah.
I'm like, no, you can't go out in the snow. And the big ones are like, what do you mean I can't go out in the snow? I'm like, because I cannot physically get you all ready for school if you all get soaking wet, and I've got to get everyone to two different places, 4 of you to different, like, locations. I can't, like, I literally can't do that. And then and she was like, but they're allowed to play in the snow. And a part of me was like, yeah, I feel you, because, like, I've had pictures from loads of friends this morning with all their kids playing in the snow, and I'm like, it sucks.
Oh no,
you're in a family of 4 kids and there's one parent here and you just can't play in the snow. I'm so sorry.
Samuel last night he was at, like, kind of half 8-ish going, well, look, there's snow on the ground, it's settled, why can't we go out now? And I was like, well, you've just had showers and everyone's a little bit wet and it's cold and it's late. Yeah, but I don't understand. What if it's gone by the morning? And I was like, Sammy, you're making completely valid points, but no, like, am I being mean? Should we be fun, mum, and just go outside and play in the snow at 8:30 at night? But the answer is no. So we did this morning, but it was a military operation of, if you want to go out in the snow, you have to have had your breakfast, you have to be ready for school and go out in snow gear over the top of your school clothes. Get ready. And we did manage it, but I think it does help that we have mine are all old enough to. The only one I had to negotiate with was Anna, obviously. Did you put socks on this morning in the end when you went out in the snow? I think she did actually put socks on.
She had bare legs. I love that.
She did have bare legs. Yep, socks, just socks and some wellies and a skirt for school, which you then you didn't even need to go to because your school was closed. But there we go. But yeah,
that, it's hard. It is hard because, you know, I think also, but there's another lesson there, isn't there, on, you know, having to accept the situation that you're in. And like for the bigger ones, sometimes, probably more so than the little ones, they have to, no, actually, do you know what, all of them, when there's four of them, that they all have to sometimes just accept. And I'm sure this is the case with only children as well, that you have to sometimes accept the situation you're in. Imagine having like a really sociable only child and being like, yeah, like I don't have anyone for you to play with right now. I'm really sorry. It's not appropriate for me to have someone over or whatever. So this is like related to all like sizes of families, that sometimes you have to say no, because saying yes will impact so many things that aren't appropriate in that moment. But it's okay, because I feel like a lot of the time we don't say no in our modern society because we're trying to obviously let our kids be as expressive as they want to be and as comfortable with themselves as they want to be and all of those things. I believe in that, but I also believe that I am only have a certain amount of capacity to deal with the consequences of what would happen if they all went out in the snow at 8 a.m.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and I completely hear you. And I find that almost really difficult, because that's what I almost want to communicate that with the kids. Like, I only have this much capacity. Mm. And at different times, at different points in the day, or whatever's gone on, my capacity is going to change. And then it feels like still the responsibility for their happiness is on me and my ability to have capacity. And how do I, at some point, kind of, there's got to be a transition, right? Like, to, you guys can take responsibility for your happiness and it not just be about whether or not I've got capacity to make happiness. And then there's also that, the conversation that I feel like, in particular for me, Bethany wants to have often, which is, it's not fair that so-and-so's had happiness or something fun to do and she hasn't. Do I need to, as a mother of four, divide up the free time that we've got and make sure that everyone's got a slot of happiness? And that's almost what we did in the summer holidays. Like, Bethany and I are very, very similar, and she needed structure and she needed a plan for the summer holidays that didn't just involve the boys playing PlayStation and playing football. And so we came up with like a daily routine of, on a Monday we did this, on a Tuesday we did this, on a Friday it was like party day. It didn't last very long. It only lasted kind of 2 weeks of the summer holidays before we all chilled out a bit. But she very much needed that fairness of sharing out the happiness. Does that make sense? And that's really hard as well, because then some kids don't care, some kids don't need it, some kids are happy just sitting around watching TV. Yeah, it's,
but also balance. I think that's, you did like do her, you did meet her need of wanting to be a bit happy. Do you know what I mean? Like, you considered it and you planned it in. Whether she then is happy in the activity that was planned is a different matter, but you had considered. So already your capacity was kind of being stretched because you knew that you'd added that in already. So like making that plan meant that you have more capacity to make the happiness happen because you already had done the legwork beforehand. Because the responsibility for me is not on their reaction or response to the fun or the activity, but the responsibility for me is, have I, as a mother, considered who is going to need what over this period of time? And have I included myself in that and made sure I discount Gary, because I just think like he's an adult, so I'm not going to consider his happiness needs in this, in the sense of like planning activities. I feel like if he wants to do something, then it's his responsibility to come to me and say, let's take the kids and do X, Y, and Z. So I tend to plan for me and the kids to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to do something that they may enjoy. Whether they are then actually happy about the thing is that's a different set of issues, or not even an issue. It's just a different response to the situation. But it's more about my responsibilities and what they are in my role as a mother. And for me, that is like ensuring that there is an opportunity for the people in my care to enjoy some of the holidays that are coming up. That doesn't mean like whizzy, whizzy, bang, bang, like every day is like super duper fun, because that is not reality and real life. In, you know, we all have our constrictions and situations that mean that we can't do that for every single moment of every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. And I think the point about being almost uncomfortable with saying no is a big deal. And this is a struggle I think that parents are having at the moment, is how do you allow sort of expression of each individual person's needs and wants without it becoming one person taking priority, like you're saying, you know, making sure some people have got opportunities for something joyful, but also without, I struggle with sort of, if I'm asking for this thing to be, you know, that the activity to be done that might make me joyful or happy or whatever, it might mean that someone else doesn't. And if I then communicate, well, look, guys, this is the thing that I really want to do, or the thing that so-and-so really, really wants to do, and yous are all potentially going to have to kind of suck it up, maybe said in a slightly nicer way, am I making my family into a family of people pleasers?
Mm.
Like, you know, if you're kind of going, well, there's six of us, so it's almost like if we are sort of having a thing each and other people are going to have to sort of put up with it, are the other people... yeah, turning into people pleasers? And how do you get that communication, like that bit of the puzzle, how do you get that bit right of saying it's not about being a people pleaser, but it also needs to not be about completely shitting on someone else's experience of fun? Mm-hmm. Because that's a really horrible thing, isn't it? If you were to go somewhere and someone just moans constantly, it will affect the mood of the rest of the family, and it will affect the person who's really joyful experience. Or certainly that's true for me. If I go somewhere and they're all complaining, it completely ruins it for me, and I'd rather just not have not bothered. And then I feel resentful and a bit like a martyr because I'm not getting to do anything that I want to do. And that sounds a little bit selfish, but I'll own that. And why shouldn't I get to do the things I want to do? And that's true for everybody in our family. But it is no fun if someone is completely moaning and being miserable the whole time.
Mm.
I don't know.
That's a lot.
I know, I don't, yeah, it is a lot. This is why I'm stressed going into the school holidays.
I can see where your head is going here. Okay, so before we like dig into that, I think we should do something that I was thinking about earlier, actually, where I was like, I wonder, because I was pondering the topic of survival, but we've already done that. I was pondering the topic of surviving the holidays and, you know, and then I was thinking about what tools and techniques I've used and like things that have helped to manage everyone's to manage my emotions and how I'm responding to things. And I was like, I wonder how many people tune into this podcast and they have not peed, eaten, sat, breathed, or whatever this morning, or whenever you listen to your podcast. I'm speaking from experience, always in the morning. So I thought maybe like let's just take a breath for a sec.
Yeah.
I can tell that my nervous system is running a lot higher today than it has been for a while. Like I can feel it like I've got slight butterflies, but they're not full. And I can feel that my body is a little bit tense, and that my thoughts are not forming in like a really calm way. And there's a lot going on inside my body at the moment. And I didn't even think I felt stressed. So I think that's just underlying like everything I'm doing. I haven't like enjoyed a meal properly today. Like I've been multitasking when I've been doing all of my eating. I haven't taken a moment to like put on any incense today. Those are like my basics. So I need to, the rest of the day, I'm going to do some of those basics. What basics have you done today?
Mm-hmm.
I really wish everyone could see your face right now.
Oh my gosh, you're so right though. But we don't have to. Yeah, you're right. If we could just do the basics, actually maybe some of that stress would just float away. And I know that for me, I said to CJ yesterday, I mean, you know, like I've hinted on the podcast that food is an issue for me at the moment anyway, but that yesterday, over the last few days, I found myself almost at the point of tears whenever I start feeling hungry at the moment, which is quite often, like emotionally unstable, which doesn't help then having limited capacity to bring the fun or bring the boundaries or bring the emotional regulation for other people. You're absolutely right that we need to have emotional capacity to deal with all of the rest of this stuff. And then the fears of, am I making people pleasers? Maybe might go away because I've had enough sleep, had enough rest, had enough whatever. Yeah.
Well, they might not go away, but when they come up, I feel like when I'm in a nourished place, mm-hmm. I then have more capacity to think about what I truly believe about that rather than what my head is trying to influence me to think about it. So I can feel into the problem rather than think my way into the problem, which are two very different things for me. So when I'm feeling into a problem, I can sit with it and I can circle it around. I can like question it from different angles. I can like, I tend to like use less of my logic and more of my feelings to navigate it. But when I haven't met any of my fundamental needs throughout the day, and let's just go over what they are for the mothers out there. Those are eating, drinking, sitting, washing, smelling something nice, touching yourself. And I don't mean in that way, just, you know, stroke your leg, run your hand down your body, like feel contact with a, you know, with yourself to know how it's feeling. Those are like fundamental basics to navigate the day. Without them, like you cannot function as a human being in full capacity. Go for a wee. Amen.
Yeah,
everyone, no, go for a wee right now.
Go for a wee right now. I might. I think that's so true. And I think actually almost when I'm in a place of like that, like you were saying, that heightened nervous system, actually what's happening in my brain, now you've said all of this, it's all kind of piecing together for me, is I'm going into that, oh, let's go down the fully flight or fight mode. And that actually almost means like my brain scanning for those stress things. Like, am I telling my kids into people pleasers? Are we going to be happy? Are we going to have a magical time? It's almost like, let's go down that stress road. Whereas if I could just kind of go and breathe and let's just eat breakfast sitting comfortably. It's so difficult, isn't it? Because life isn't, like our modern world is so designed to keep us in this heightened stress state.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's, where's the time? Where's the peace? Where's the, we have to create that.
Yeah.
And that's where almost like my husband has got it so right. But when it comes around to the school holidays, he's just like, seriously, we don't need to do anything. Chill. Just chill out. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. What does chill out mean? Because my nervous system is like on a number 8 all the time. Okay, so let's bring it down. Yeah.
But also you and Bethany have found the perfect way for you guys to both bring it down together. Like you make a plan. And, you know, like that's something that works for me too. I like to have a few things booked in to know that I have my needs being met, something I'm going to look forward to and enjoy away from the kids. Normally, as much as I enjoy time with my kids, my you know, because I spend all of my time with them, the things I'm going to look forward to in the holidays are probably the couple of hours when I go and do something for myself. And then that means I can be more present and enjoy so much more of the opportunity I'll have to spend with them. And I think this year especially, like I know last year I spent a lot of the actual few days over the actual Christmas being like very snappy with my second Fern. She is like full on excitement kid. And it was, I just found it so annoying all the time. It was just when is this happening? And then when are we doing that? And then is it time for this now? She wanted to do everything in the first like 2 hours of the day. And part of me thought I should have just given it all to her. Like, so she could have just had it and then it would be done. But something in me was like resisting her having all the joy, probably because I didn't want to have all the joy for myself. You know, like there was a part of me that was like, oh, you couldn't possibly have this much joy in that much like time. And I think this year, especially, I'm going to try and just create some more yeses where my body wants to say no and think about why I'm saying no. Because actually, like, it doesn't matter when we do X, Y, and Z. If she wants to have a load of stuff before 8 a.m., then she'll probably be calm for the majority of the day because I know her. And once she's had the thing she's after, she'll then just find something to do. So, you know, this Christmas couple of weeks that are coming up, I've got my own intentions that I'm setting with myself slowly and gently this week. I'm setting them of like, what's going to come up? How do you think you're going to respond to that? And what have you got in place to know that you can bring yourself back down into yourself rather than up in your head where everything is going to be a disaster or stressful? Because the reality is you can have 4 kids and you can enjoy Christmas. Like, you can do that. We all can enjoy to some level, like the period of time that is coming up, because there are a lot of things you can do that will calm your nervous system and make you feel good that cost like nothing.
Yeah. And actually, if you said to me, just with you saying, setting some intentions, if you said, I should do this for myself, what would be, how could you have a nice Christmas? And it would be chilling out. Like, but not as in, I think in my head, I'm going, oh, does chilling out just mean being lazy? No, chilling out means chilling out my brain, chilling out all of the noise that I've just kind of gone bleh, at you at the beginning of this episode. That would be chilling out. And that's possible. It's just, I almost need to intentionally do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe like you and I can set our intentions and share them with each other. So we know that we've got like a backup system to be reminded of what it is that we said that we would do.
Yeah, I think so much of it for me is a reminder of when is it that I'm in. I find it very difficult to recognize when I'm in that fight or flight mode. And so then how do I recognize I'm in manic? I need to figure out that warning system much better than I do at the moment. I'm very, very bad at recognizing it.
Have you been having your like mornings of kid free time, you know, where you walk the dog and podcast and stuff? Have you been having them?
Yeah, I do it every single day, but I'm not very good at honestly, it just feels like another job. I'm rolling out of bed far too early. I'm having to set my alarm at 6 o'clock, going to bed far too late, so not getting enough sleep. And it's just a job. As soon as I wake up, it's rolling out and the dog is in my face, ready to go.
Yeah.
What jobs could I do whilst I'm out on the dog walk, be it answering messages or writing something or, I don't know, checking the bills or whatever it is I'm doing? Or if I'm not able to work because it's too cold to get my hands out and use my phone whilst I'm walking the dog, it's rushing, I'm wanting to rush. And so it's not peaceful. Like, the intention is not there. It's not peaceful. I feel like I am spending a lot of the day just frantically trying to do as many jobs as possible. Yeah,
I can resonate with that. I have been there too. I feel less so like that at the moment. But I find myself getting into that maybe a bit more in the holidays. It's hit and miss. I don't know. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? We don't know. Like, literally anything can happen at any point. So especially when there's 4 kids. Yesterday my youngest child ate moisturizer. You know, she just found the bottle, ate it. And she's fine. It was rose scented organic moisturizer, so I was just hoping that she probably got something nourishing out of it, to be honest with you.
Probably good for her.
Yeah,
yeah,
lubricated the inside a bit.
Yeah, lovely.
But yeah, you know, like anything can happen. We cannot predict what will happen over the period of time when all the kids are off school, but the things I can control are trying to carve out some time or some things I know are good, like for me, so feel good to me. We put I just saw your fairy lights in the background in the kitchen, and for the first time in years I put fairy lights up in my kitchen, because I spend most of my life in the house in the kitchen, and that's through choice. I am not chained to the kitchen sink, let me just make that clear. I love cooking, baking, and I love being in my kitchen, but I also have realized that I don't make it always the space that I want it to be, because I'm too busy decorating the spaces that everybody else sits in. And I was like, mm-hmm. why am I not making the space that I'm in really beautiful? So like I spent ages stringing up tons of fairy lights in my kitchen diner. I'm like, yeah, I want to be in here now. It feels like joyful just turning them on in the evening and it being like that dusky light that's not bright light, and yeah. you know, mm-hmm. even just that alone felt like this big nourishing gesture towards myself that cost me nothing. They were in the garage, I just got them out, I strung them up, it just took some time. So I think there's this thing of like Instagram is going to tell you several times over the next week that to be really peaceful and joyful this Christmas you need to buy about 20 of these very expensive items, and then you need to book yourself in for a spa day, and then you need to also go and do this with some friends. Actually, you can just take the fairy lights that you already have in the garage and just string them up in your kitchen and sit there with a cup of tea and drink it hot and look out the window at the snow and feel equally as peaceful.
Yeah. 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 Amen to that. I mean, it's just a choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when I'm at an 8 or a 9 or a 10.
Yeah. The choice
on the nervous system stress, you're like, I have no choice. And it's just needing that reminder. Yeah, of there is a choice. There is a choice to breathe right this second and not go down the road of let's just get stressed. So, okay, so we've had a breathing. You asked us to breathe, and here's my, anyone listening, you can chill. It's okay. Have some permission. This is your reminder. You can chill out. And you can chill out. Anna's not chilling out next to me.
What's she doing?
She's drawn a picture and she's written sad above it. To make me understand how she feels.
That's good. Well, it's okay to feel sad.
It's okay to feel sad, yeah.
It is okay to feel sad. Speaking of which, actually, I didn't realize how much grief I was holding about, like, I went for I've been trying to go for a nap walk with my youngest, like take her around the woods, because I love being in the woods in the winter and I love walking and I love her napping. So it's like a really good combo if I can like motivate myself to actually put her in the buggy and go, because she hates going in the buggy. But once she's in there, she's all right. You know, the usual story of like, you want to walk and I want to push you because I want you to go to sleep, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, if we finally do get out and she's in the buggy and she falls asleep and I'm in the woods and it's peaceful, I'm like, oh, this is just exactly what I needed. But in those moments, what I've realized this week is that, or last week, sorry, is how much I'm still not like holding on to quite a lot of grief. And I think probably the grief of, so my father-in-law died a couple of weeks ago. My mother-in-law died 10 years ago. This year, and just lots of other little things. Those are the big events, but lots of other little things that I'm like, oh, why am I crying? I'm like pushing the buggy going, why am I crying? It's okay, it's good, like it's a release. But I'm like, is it good cry? It's like, but I just don't even know why at the moment, so I'm still trying to unpack what's going on there. But I think that release and that moment of understanding how I'm feeling wouldn't have come out if I hadn't gone on that walk that I told myself I didn't really want to go on. And I think that's the carving out those moments of time allow then for things that you didn't realize were there to come up for you.
And absolutely, and not numbing through all of those times. which is what I tend to do. I'm like, oh, hi, I've got some time to be with my own self. I know I'll numb it by listening to a podcast or doing all the jobs.
Yeah, we all do that sometimes.
So I celebrate you having time to process the feelings. Grief is a big deal.
Yeah, and I don't think I really thought that it would be something that would be on my mind at Christmas, because I do love Christmas, although I find it stressful. I like getting new stuff, and I like food and all the things that it involves, you know. If you get a few gifts, I mean, why not? I quite like that. And you know, buying stuff for the kids is always nice. But yeah, I just wasn't expecting it to come up like it did. But I'm glad that I've been going on the walks, because then it can come out and I'm not like holding on to it, you know, because that's the other thing, isn't it? Like holding on to stuff then just makes it into bigger stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't hold on to anything. If you can, let it out of your body.
Mm-hmm. For it's sure. A bit like saying we're going to have a really nice time. The pressure that puts on it. It's like you're holding on to the expectation, the projection onto this event. It's going to be really, really nice. But as soon as you put that pressure on it, it's like, it's going to be awful, isn't it?
Yeah. And then you have, I heard, was it a Glennon thing? Possibly expectation hangover of when you've done the event, and you're like, oh, that wasn't all that. Now I feel really bummed out. That's hard too, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's like having an attachment to how it's going to turn out.
For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go into this school holiday. This is my intention, with zero expectation of any joy. What I hope for.
That sounds so depressing, but yeah, I get the point.
I would hope that there is joy to be had, but holding on to the expectation that the entire 2 week period is going to be joyful will totally ruin my experience of the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into it with no expectation.
And I think what's so beautiful about that is what you're then teaching your children is that to be fully human is to feel all the feelings, right? Life is about feeling all the feelings, not just kind of going, well, the only feelings that I'm possibly going to feel that are good, that are acceptable, are happiness and joy. That's not life. And then you end up like me, resisting anything that's not happiness and joy, because it must be bad and shameful to feel anything other than that. And actually, that's not life. That's a beautiful holly leaf, Anna. That is beautiful. Well done. Good painting.
You can keep that bit in.
That was good parenting. Or was it? Are we allowed to say that it's good? Do I have to say, nope. I like the colours that you've chosen? No. Ugh, parenting, man. I'm sorry.
No.
I love it.
Cut that one.
Yeah.
So funny.
I think that was nice. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's good.
Do you feel like, have we done?
I think
so. Are we going to do another one? I feel like you're in that nice bit about joy. Yeah, what you said there, that was nice. A good place to
really
stop.
Is it not depressing?
No, I don't think so at all.
Yeah, no, I think
it's real place. Life. I think it's real life. Not chasing something that is unobtainable. See you later.
Bye, Anna.
Bye. Lorna says bye.
Bye.
See you later.
See you later. Bye. Here at Mothers of Many, we try to celebrate the people that we have as inspirations in our lives. The person that we would like to speak about this week is someone that both Kiara and I have worked with, and that person is Dawn Lucht. Dawn is a transformation coach. She is an inspirational wise woman and guide to many people. She finds a way to hold space to bring you back to yourself, your true self. She offers courses, one-to-one sessions, and many, many ways that you can access all of what she has to offer. Kiara and I have both seen some truly outstanding results in ourselves after working with Dawn. A lot of what we've spoken about has been inspired by her teaching, and the tools and tips that we use to bring ourselves back into our bodies have come from some of the work that we've done with Dawn. Working with Dawn allows me to look at parts of myself that I'd been too afraid to do so before. She gently but firmly advocates for the amazing people that we all are and holds you through that journey back into yourself. I cannot express how much I have loved the work I have done with Dawn. It's been eye-opening and it has ultimately changed my life for the better. I am so grateful for what she puts out there and I would like everybody to work with her. So go over to Dawn Lucht, DawnLucht.com and see what she has on offer at the moment.